How I got hit in the head, I can't recall. Did we ever do it, baby? Last I knew, it was 2004. Surely we've already won the Iraqi war. Did the thong song really make number one? Next thing you'll tell me is the Red Sox finally won. I've got kids, I gotta depart and go find my girlfriend Kendall Hart, baby. Sorry, I forgot about you. I am so darn sorry, I forgot about you. Hey, you're kinda pretty, like a poor man's Rebecca Budig. Kendall's calling, Greenlee's calling me down.
That's right. He can't remember anything.
He can't remember nothing. Blandy sure did look cute in diamonds away, though.
Mm-hmm. Do the rundown, baby.
This week on All My Children, Ryan's forgotten about the last 4 years, and we would like to as well.
Greenlee O'Hara will never drink root water again.
Jesse's girl is going to get him. No thanks to Minnie Hands Julia.
Adam's secret Dakota ring goes down the drain all this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Hey there, you're listening to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending February 8th, 2008. I'm Taylor Crawford.
And I'm Ashley Mendoza. Taylor Crawford has forgotten how to speak a little bit. It's a little bit.
You ever noticed how difficult February is to say?
I know how difficult it is to spell.
February and library.
It's very difficult because I say February and I say library.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to put
and biscotti. Biscotti.
I don't say biscotti. I do say axe, but I don't say biscotti. Mm-hmm. I like to say spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
I am not stupid, Taylor Crawford. Damn, Taylor Crawford comes back to the show for the first time in 82 years and he's insulting me.
I am not. She's been there 2 months anyway.
Listen, I'm very happy to have Taylor Crawford back on the show. I've had to do a little bit of filling in for him.
I did well.
But he did really well.
I picked right up. I watched all week and I picked up.
He remembered much more than Ryan.
Mm-hmm. That's
much
true.
More than Ryan.
That's
David.
True.
So what'd you think of the show now that you're back for a little bit?
Well, I took another respite from the show. That element, you know, it ended Friday on a note that makes me want to tune in Monday and see what happens, which is a good step.
That's
good. A good sign. Because at its peak, I couldn't wait to see the show. I come home from work every day, and I couldn't wait to see what was going to happen.
When was that, would you say, Taylor?
When we first started, I think.
I'm trying to remember oh, we had Special Johnny with Special Lily.
That's right, with the hanky, they're in New York, and Creepy Terry.
That's
pedophile.
Right, Creepy Terry, pedophile.
Yeah, it was there, and we had Josh being hung on a hook.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh and Babe, don't forget, Sizzle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right, and we had Dr. Greg Madden, still my favorite character, had Erica Kane in a trunk on his private plane. Spike and Zach and mm-hmm. Kendall were newly married.
That's
and they were
right.
coming home from
right.
the island of Dr. Moreau.
That's right.
So
Kendall hated Spike at first.
Good times, special friends.
Then she fell in love with him.
And yet they're in the hospital and Zach's got his gun.
That's right. He had a rifle. Wasn't it a rifle or was it a gun?
No, he had like a .38 revolver.
Was a gun? For some reason, I remember it being like a
That's
rifle.
Right. Because JR tried to kill her.
That's right. That is right. But also they were trying to get her to have an abortion.
That's right. To save her life.
To save her life.
And Zach knew her wishes.
That's right. He was protecting his lady, mm-hmm. which was a theme this week. He is protecting all the ladies this
week.
He's
still the man. Zach's still
the
man.
He is the man. Taylor was telling to me in Friday's episode as Zach was handing poor Blandy a beer, an ale to be specific.
Mm-hmm. Taylor stronger than a beer.
That's right. Stronger than a beer. Taylor was reminding me how manly Zach is.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, that's right, no Nivea gold lotion for him.
He is manly and there, and he's not a wussy boy.
He is not a wussy boy. Although, I will say, our Ryan of 2004 is no wussy boy.
No, he's less responsible.
Yeah, that's right.
Certainly less responsible and less caring, but maybe, you know.
But much more manly.
Yeah, much more manly.
And attractive.
He had his leather jacket out. He's wearing the leather jacket.
That's right.
He's macking on some other guy's wife.
I love it.
You know?
I loved it. Shall we start there?
Okay.
I love the beginning of the week when Ryan first lost his memory and he saw Kendall and he was like in love with her still. And she was like, what? What?
Well acted by Cameron.
It was good. He's doing really well. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hudson was here last week and we were both admiring Cameron Matheson's work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's been the strongest actor in the past.
No.
I don't think he's been the weakest, but not the strongest. But he's doing very well.
He is. I think I've seen some change and improvement. It could be the writing because he's not a wussy boy anymore. And it's just annoying to see one note. All the time.
I know. I agree. I hope he stays not wussy boyed.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when she's freaking out, and like before we even know that Ryan has lost his memory, he hugs her, and then he flashes back to like really loving times, and mm-hmm. he tells her that he loves her, and I was like crying, Taylor Crawford.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I was getting confused by the flashbacks this week because it's like they have two artistic directors because sometimes they're in black and white and sometimes they're in color.
And sometimes they like look like my migraine
because
sometimes I get migraine people. And any of y'all who get migraines, you know, you see like little flashes and stuff and it's terrible because you know that the pain is going to come and it's going to be killer.
Mm-hmm.
And so like with Angie's flashbacks this week, they had like those like spooky effects like flashes of light and it was black.
Right.
And then they were like... When, like, in the cartoons, when a cartoon character walks behind the X-ray machine and you see the X-ray, it's like...
Yeah. We saw the dating montage of Ryan with Kendall.
Oh, my God.
Past days.
We didn't see it once. We saw it all week.
And then Kendall pushing him away to Greenlee.
We were commenting. I was talking to Jordan a little bit, and we were commenting at how young Kendall looked.
Yes, she
did. Oh, she doesn't look old. She's beautiful.
No, she looks like a grown woman now.
Yeah, exactly. She looked like a little baby face then.
Yeah, absolutely. But Cameron looks the same.
Cameron looks the same. Mm-hmm. He really does. Dr. Joe was kind of cracking me up this week because Dr. Joe has been heavy on the dialogue because of all the hospital stuff that's going on between Greenlee and Frankie and Angie and Richie and Ryan, all this hospital stuff. Dr. Joe has been having to have a lot of lines. So it was pretty good thing that Dr. Joe could not explain Ryan's amnesia because had he actually had to explain it, it might have been a challenge.
It might have been. He'd have to carry around his
good old Ray.
His Merck manual with him with a pronunciation guy next to it.
Poor Ray. I love Ray. Anyway, but I have to tell you, Taylor, let me ask you.
Ask away, Ashley.
You are very astute.
Mm-hmm.
What was your opinion of Miss Melissa Claire Egan's acting this week, knowing as Blandy that she had to be crushed by her husband's lack of memory?
I felt nothing was abnormal with her acting. You thought it was bad or good?
No, I thought it was excellent. I wanted to know your opinion.
I do think she's good. I've always been a defender of hers. Whenever I've been on the show. And I do like her. And boy, was she beautiful when she was getting dressed.
He likes how she looked, people.
She was so gorgeous.
She looks good, though. I'm going to tell you the truth. She's finally hit that zone. Like, you know, we talked about Taylor. I know we've talked about the fact that, like, the makeup people have to take a little while to figure each person out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they finally figure Melissa Claire Egan out.
Yeah, you know what I was noticing?
She doesn't wear no mom jeans more.
With everybody, too. The eye lighting and the lips and people's... It's like they are figuring things out.
Taylor, that's interesting.
I don't know if
Taylor
you
Taylor has an appreciation for beauty, for things of beauty.
Beautiful things.
I do. Well, I have to say, I was very moved by Blandy's heartbreak, all right? Ryan looked at Blandy and said, I'm sorry, but I look at you and I see Kendall.
He's been so insensitive to
people.
He's
been pretty bad.
And then he does the same thing to Greenlee.
But listen, he's been selfish a lot. When he ran off that cliff with that motorcycle because he didn't want to have kids, that was pretty selfish.
Right.
So it was kind of like, but it's like you were saying.
You either get selfish or wussy boy.
Yeah, exactly. So. But selfish is a little more interesting, I got to tell you. I take selfish any day. I know, listen, people, I'm not trying to be like anti-feminist and all that stuff because I think women deserve to be treated better by men. But I'm just saying it just for some reason, it's more interesting to me.
Right.
Don't you agree?
I agree.
Oh, Richie overhears, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to feel genuinely bad for Blandy.
Yeah, but it's like, what Richie is it today? Is it crazy?
Thank you, Taylor.
I can't feel sympathy for him at all because of the things he's done.
To me, people, this storyline borders on peanut butter pancakes.
Is anybody really rooting for him to get that transplant?
Is anybody rooting for anything in this dumbass storyline? I'm not. I don't buy it. I don't buy that just because Richie put some firecrackers in some cat's butts that Aunt Blandy was so terrorized that she had to send him to prison for 7 years. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm even wondering now if they're even going to... And now he had his shrink killed, and he's turning out to be super evil and all this stuff.
You know, he left Zach for dead. You know?
He did that. I mean, it's like, how much... It just would have been much more interesting if it was more realistic. I don't know. It was so stupid to me. So, anyway, that whole storyline's dumb. But I think there's, like, something like... Is he going to Mexico? Did I hear that right? He's going to Mexico?
He was planning to. Then Dr. Joe... had news that there was a donor.
Oh, that is right. Who do you think the donor is?
It's little...
You think it's Emma?
Yeah, it's Emma.
But why was she... She wouldn't have even been tested. They didn't test her. They had a whole series where Blandy got tested, people got tested.
Listen, Ashley, I don't want you questioning these screenwriters. These screenwriters have been working hard, and they have thought of every possible outcome, and they have justified every decision they've made. For 30 plus years.
Well, Miss Blandy wishes she gives Richie some, like, heartfelt, in her little heartfelt way of hers, thing that she wishes they could have been friends or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored, people. I hate the storyline. I think it is such a waste of this fine actor. I think his name is Billy Miller. I think he's a wonderful actor. Mm-hmm. Do you like him, Taylor?
I do.
I think he's interesting. Wasted, 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 wasted.
If they had changed his character so that he could justify the things he did. But there's no way you can justify some of the things he did. It's just, oh, we need an evil character.
Some of the viewers disagree. Really? Some of the viewers think that just like Tad, he could be redeemed. But Tad did one bad thing in his whole life, and it was understandable. This guy's just
killing Dr. Madden?
Yes. Well, I mean, maybe it wasn't understandable, but but it was at least like it's coming from Tad. Like there was some motive there.
Where is Josh? I want Josh back.
I want Josh. I don't know where Josh is. Wouldn't Josh have been wonderful in the hospital?
Sure.
We had that delicious Dr. Nick that I loved and Jordan loved, but Josh would have been great in that.
Sure.
So stupid.
Man, what's he doing? Is he on vacation? When was the last time Josh was on? A couple weeks ago?
Hannah.
Hannah,
when your favorite got killed.
That was a travesty. And if I had been here on the show, I'm sure it wouldn't have happened.
It's true. Taylor loved her enough for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I miss her. I do. I miss adult, beautiful adult women on the show. But anyway, it's been pretty good. I like when Blandy woke up and vowed to make Ryan remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor referenced it a little bit.
Yes, I did. I did like that. I'm going to make you love me.
She showed up to the door in her little skivvies.
Oh, boy. That was like, I was going, is this going to happen? No. Denied.
Well, it was, but listen, it was interesting, though, because it seemed like Ryan was going to make love to her.
Yeah, did it seem like planned on her part? I'm going to answer the door in my little panties.
She tried to play it off.
We'll see what it says.
She tried to play it off like nothing. Mm-hmm. It was really funny. But I liked how she kind of brings him outside and she goes to make love to him, and he's like up for it. But he tells her, honestly, that he'd be up for it because she's hot. But he don't love her. And it's not going to make him love her.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty harsh.
It was pretty harsh. It was pretty insensitive to a bunch of people.
And
maybe he's faking it.
You think?
No, I have no idea.
Listen,
no idea.
I'm rooting for it because these Renzel scenes are unbelievable. Unbelievable. The chemistry.
Yeah, they're screwing around with stuff. They got her with, you know, Annie with Zach. And him seeing that, and then Greenlee on the plane. Oh, I answer his cell phone.
Kendall answers Aiden's cell phone. We'll get to that whole ridiculous storyline.
So like, you're trying to do like a love quadrangle or something
Exactly. It's kind of silly, but. Well, anyway, he walks out on Blandy Cole and he goes to see Greenlee. Mm-hmm. And it was nice, the Greenlee and Ryan scenes.
Yeah, well, he was incented because he already knew about Greenlee, but he made her tell it.
Yeah.
And was, you know, why are you doing that? You know what happened. You know, Kendall told you.
Yeah, but he didn't really know the Greenlee part. Mm-hmm. He didn't know the Greenlee and Ryan married part.
Mm-hmm.
So she filled him in. And she started crying. And, you know, Taylor was telling me, tell him what you told me, Taylor, about seeing Rebecca on a screen again.
It was wonderful to see her.
It was like an old comfy pair of slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Slipped right back in.
I was enjoying seeing her on the screen.
I couldn't believe.
Acting was very, perfect.
I couldn't believe I heard Taylor say enjoy and all my children in the same sentence. It was miraculous.
Enjoying green leaf.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Anyway, and then it was funny because Ryan was kind of screaming. He's like, he doesn't get Zach. You know, like, he's like, I don't get Zach and Kendall. I don't get it. I don't get Zach and Kendall.
Yeah.
And I was kind of laughing because of how many viewers, especially you, Mr. Superposter, our friends at the All My Children fan space, which you can go to by going to www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. We love to plug Superposter. Mm-hmm. He's our friend.
He gives us a dime.
He does every time we plug him. Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. I'll put that in the can.
Oh, by the way, you were the one that told me, that reminds me, Taylor Crawford, that Jonathan is in Europe.
Yeah, that was exposed on Friday's episode. Somebody said, oh, yeah, Zach said, well, as soon as Jonathan gets back from Europe, maybe I can spend some time with the kids.
I did not get that.
He's at European basketball camp with Reggie and Josh. They're paying 3-on-3 pickup basketball in Europe.
That is funny. Poor Jonathan. I wonder what's going to happen to him. We know he's off the show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we know he's canned.
So, I don't know. But wouldn't you think that he would have final scenes or something?
I would think so, but who knows what they're doing.
Strange.
Maybe he'll get a Knight Rider, too, or something like that.
Oof.
I would. Airwolf.
I can't wait. Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Some movie.
I like. Because
everybody knows that, right? Who the new Knight Rider is.
Yes, everybody knows that Justin Bruning is going to be the new Knight Rider.
Michael Knight.
Son. Yes, the new Michael Knight. Are you excited for that? I'm excited for that.
Oh, sure. I'm excited. Really, yeah.
That was one of Taylor's favorite shows when he was a little boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was a tiny little boy. So that's Knight Rider.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Then I switch over to Dallas.
That and Knott's Landing.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to watch the Knott's Landing.
Knott's Landing was, yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's what we need, though, on this show. We need some Dallas style.
We need some adult.
Dynasty style fights, cat fights.
I would like some adult situations.
Thank you very much. not the Disney-ized version. Yeah. And then we pretty much ended the week with Ryan, with Blandy, you know, going to see Zach. Blandy needs to color her hair again. The blonde is coming through. I like it dark brown. It's beautiful dark brown. But they are dressing her good, people. The brown panties that she wore, the brown sparkly top that she wore.
She is beautiful.
Awesome.
Absolutely beautiful.
She looked great. But my favorite Blandy moment of the week was when she was talking to Zach about her frustration and how she felt and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he says, punch his pillow. Just punch his pillow.
Oh. And she punches it a little bit and says, oh, I've destroyed your pillow.
I'm so sorry. I ruined your pillow. It's totally ruined. Meanwhile, she tapped it.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. And she's hugging Zach, and then Ryan walks in. And I'm thinking that is good. I'm thinking that Ryan wants them to be together. I'm thinking that he wants to run to Kendall and say, Kendall, you know, Zach and Blandy are going at it. That's what I'm thinking.
I cannot see Zach ever being unfaithful. So
I think Zach will be unfaithful if
he's fooled into it.
Listen, should I do a well?
You have a
spoiler. Do we do a spoiler alert?
Weep, weep.
All right, we'll do one for old time. We haven't done a spoiler alert in a while, so we're gonna do one for old time's sake.
Okay.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Spoiler alert.
You didn't do it right. Try it again. He's out of practice. It's whoop, whoop, whoop. Spoiler alert. One, two, three. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Spoiler alert. That's it. All right, so turn down your radios, your computer volumes, your iPod volumes.
That's right, turn it down.
There is a sneaking suspicion on Kendall's part that she is preggers with Aiden's baby. Now, that's the case. I think Zach, who is all man, could throw that little skinny little 82-pound girl to the curb.
Mm-hmm. That could happen.
I see it.
And the burning question is,
then Aiden leaves Greenlee, and that leaves Greenlee and Zach to comfort each other and make sweet love.
Oh, yeah?
I love it. I would love that.
Okay. So what debilitating injury would you give the baby? That's the question.
Let's see.
We always hurt the ones we love.
Let's see. What hasn't been covered? We've got deafness.
Mm-hmm. Autism.
We've got autism spectrum disorders. Mm-hmm. We've got premature baby itis.
Mm-hmm. Is that the technical term?
I know. What is that vitamin C deficiency?
Rickets.
Rickets. Give him rickets.
Rickets. Or flippers for hands.
That would be funny.
Sure, it's hilarious to our viewing public that has the flippers for hands already.
You know, I have an eyebrow waxer that has an extra thumb.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. I didn't know it, people. I was going to this woman for about a year and a half, and I never knew she had an extra thumb. One day she was like clearing a hair, and the extra thumb was dangling.
What the hell is that extra thumb there?
It kind of grazed me. And it's not like a full thumb. It's like just sort of a hanging like digit. You know what I'm saying?
An indication of a thumb.
Thank you. And it just sort of grazed me. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I looked up and that was an extra thumb.
She laughed it off, said she had a spare.
Now listen, that is something that they should show on a soap opera. Show real life stuff like extra thumbs. Mm-hmm. You never see that on a soap opera.
No, you never do.
You never do. Makes no sense. Listen, we should talk a little bit about Greenlee, and then we will talk about Jess and Angie. The little bit I will tell you about Greenlee is, at the beginning of the week, we don't know if she's going to live or die. Mm-hmm. But we do, because she's Greenlee. She's Rebecca Buttock. She just got back to the show. She ain't going to die. So it's like a matter of execution, I suppose. So at the beginning of the week, we see Jack and Aiden, like, attacking Dr. Hubbard, Angie, for, like, not giving them perfect news about Greenlee.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was so dumb.
Yeah, it was.
And, like, Jack...
Poor Jack. Just, he's had a rough time. He's always had a rough time.
Yeah, but what
past
do you
year.
Mean? Like, what do you mean? Like,
he's got divorced. He's got, where's Greenlee? Greenlee's gone. Now Greenlee's dying.
But he never even knew Greenlee. He just found out about her, like, a year ago. No?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, Aiden offered to be a guinea pig for that new serum or whatever they want to try.
Poison me, and then...
I wished. I was like, please, please give him the poison. Anyway, Jack acts like a dick, and Erica comforts him.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
But then Erica has dinner with...
Adam. What was that about?
I don't know. They have a scene together. Oh, she's moving.
She wants to buy some lakefront condo that Adam is selling.
Yeah, and apparently it's a big, you know, waste of money.
Yes. You would think that Miss Erica Kane, at her age, would know to hire an inspector.
Yeah, I think she's a little savvier than...
I mean, she's savvy enough to, like, be guilty of stock fraud.
Oh, what? Her assets were frozen.
Yes, because she got a Martha Stewart problem.
Oh, yeah.
She got a big Martha Stewart problem. And Mr. Peebles is going to take her down on it.
Mm-hmm.
In more ways than one, people. Wow, you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Bum, chicka, bow, bow. Some leathery love. Leathery chocolate love.
Well, listen. She's got some years on him, though. How old is Mario Van Peebles? He can't be more than 50.
No.
You think?
It's difficult to tell. Let's see. He did Highlander 3 and Solo.
Why don't
you Wikipedia him?
I think I will do better than Wikipedia. I think I will do... a source we like to call IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. Here we go. Let's look up Mario Van Peebles. Now look, we've got Mario Van Peebles. He was born 1957. All right, so he's all right.
Mm-hmm.
51. Yeah, they're okay. Look at him and his hat. And no wonder he took a soap job. Look at that hat.
He's got some nice choppers,
people,
too.
People, he's wearing a black lady's hat with a flower, like white flowers on it. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Anyway, all right, so that'll be an okay match for Ms. Kane.
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
That's not, like, too much of a big difference.
Nope.
Back to Greenlee a little bit. Not really much to say. Not really much to say.
No, she did some excellent coma work.
That's right.
On par with Kendall Hart's coma work.
Well, it was nice. The one thing we can say is that when Ryan came, he had just figured out that he had amnesia. He comes to talk to her and he tells her to fight for Leo.
Oh, right. I remember that.
I like that. I like that very much. She wakes up. Frankie wakes up. And like Kendall hugs Zach in front of Ryan on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
She was like establishing her territory and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I liked. And what else happened? Oh, and then Greenlee had a really nice talk with Angie, where they reminisced about dead husbands.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I loved hearing about dead husbands.
It was. Angie looks good, too. Angie looks like...
She looked too good. But you know what I'm saying? I was saying this to Taylor before, people. What I loved about the flashbacks, first of all, there were a zillion flashbacks of Angie and Jesse, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the death scene where Jesse was dying, Angela was wearing no makeup. Absolutely none. And it was like...
Back in the day.
And I was so happy to see that because it's like, that's how like real life is. It was so real and so truthful and so natural. Like she wasn't even wearing makeup. And I loved it. Anyway, she Greenlee thanked Angie for saving her life, and, you know, they share the fact that the loves of their lives were killed, murdered. And I like this. Kendall comes to visit Greenlee, and the whole Fusion book party is happening.
Oh, right. Have you picked that up yet?
I have not picked it up.
We got to go down to Walden Books.
We certainly do. I like borders myself, but we certainly do, and I will read it, and I will have a report for y'all. Although I think Miss Tess Mallory, who we love, her MySpace page is www.myspace.com/TessMallory, MALLORY. If you go to her space, you will read she is a romance novelist.
Oh, really?
And she is so funny and so brilliant. She writes like a recap of all my children's shows, like funny, like
great,
like what me and you would love to see on the show.
We should all write for it.
We should. So anyway, so she, I would love to know what she thinks about it. I think she should read it. Tess, I think you should read it and give us a critique, because I think you have
If anybody's got the book and read it, you know, leave us comments on the webpage.
Yes, please do. Taylor, for old time's sake, why don't you give them our webpage?
You can find us on www.pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to MySpace, which is www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can email us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com.
Oh, I love that. That made me feel so happy, viewers.
But if you read the book, please leave comments.
Please do tell us. We want to know. What I did laugh about was that Kendall was like in this dilemma because this book party at Fusion was going on, and her publisher was like insisting that she come to the thing. And she's like, no, I can't. I have to be with my friend Greenlee. And I think it was someone on our
blog. Yeah, what was up with Amanda? Didn't she know what was going on?
I think there was a lot of pressure from the publisher to get this book party happening.
Apparently.
Well, I was laughing because one of the viewers pointed out, I believe it was either on our website blog page or on our MySpace page, that like Kendall did not have a lot of trouble going to Tad's party. Tad's birthday party when little Ian was like fighting for his life. Mm-hmm. I dare say that Miss Kendall Hart's values are a little skewed.
Well, you heard it here first.
I will say that's it. Right. I will say a little skewed.
She's calling you out, Kendall Hart.
Anyway, she goes to the party. Kendall goes to the party and Greenlee and Aiden cuddle in bed. It was nice.
It was a sweet scene.
What did you think about? Oh, you know what? Here in New York City, we had the Tuesday episode blacked out.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yeah, for the Giants parade, because the Giants won.
Which
the
is
Super
a
Bowl.
Local football team.
The Giants are a local football team here in New York City, and they won the Super Bowl, and so they had a big parade, and so they didn't show All My Children
until 2 a.m.
Well, they showed the Tuesday show on Wednesday, and then they showed the Wednesday show at 2 a.m. What does that say about what they think about?
I was very confused because all the commercials are very different at 2 a.m. than the ones that are on during the day.
That's true.
So it's like, what is this stuff?
It's like Hair Club for Men.
Yeah, things like that. Stuff that maybe does not pass a, you know, a daytime muster.
Right, right.
They air well into the evening.
It was funny. Well, Kendall got dressed real quick for this party. And poor Taylor did not get to see Amanda's outfit.
No.
Out of this world. It was a red dress, satiny dress, people. It had a big hole cut out in the chest.
Scarf.
It was incredible. Although Tara and I both agreed that the girl needs to let her eyebrows grow in.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're messed up.
They're a little messed up. They need to. Now, maybe it's a cultural thing in different parts of the country, though. But when she first found the show, I could not get enough of it. You don't remember me. I was talking about her all the time.
I know.
But now it's a little too, I don't know, manicured or something.
Something. I don't know.
It's not working for me, baby.
Well, I will tell you one thing. The whole Fusion party was a little bit over the top. It was like Kendall was air kissing every single person. Mm-hmm. Every single person there. And she gave this press conference where she like sat on the bar and talked about how she created this character. Avery is the character's name. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan shows up at the party, all sullen, downtrodden. He goes up to the roof, and Kendall finds him. Mm-hmm. She's like, "Ryan, please don't jump." And he's like, "I'm not gonna jump." It's kind of funny.
I don't have my motorcycle.
So they start talking, and he asks her to be with him, and I was dying, people. Mm-hmm. I was dying. And then he asked her to hug him, and she does, and it was like all times and old times. This is like when we had all the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Jesus. Was that baloney? Ashley's burps smell like bologna. I gotta boil this microphone.
Come on. Oh, and I forgot to mention, people, when she told Ryan that they had a son named Spike.
Mm-hmm. He didn't even care that he had kids.
Yes, he did. He did not. He couldn't believe it, though.
Yeah, he hasn't asked to see them. Anything like that.
He looked at the picture, though.
He looked at the picture.
But he kept saying, like, you and me have a baby. You and me have a baby. Because he loves her. Mm-hmm. Taylor, you know, fun. I like those scenes.
But he's... Okay, but he's got kids and he's not interested in meeting them. You know? Right. They're hiding the kids from him.
Well, I thought Alicia did a beautiful job in the scene. She started crying. She couldn't even help herself when she told him that Spike was deaf and stuff. But then she goes home with Zach and Zach's, like, jealous. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. So she had to make love to him.
That's right. You know, because that's how it works with Zach.
That's right. Once he gets a little ruffled, you just make love, like, sweet love.
You know
to
how
him.
You know how with cable you have an on demand channel. Zach has that at home. On demand.
He does too, doesn't he? That's awesome. So all right. So then
you see him stab her with that fork.
When? Oh, yes, I did. They were, like, getting sexy and had a fork, and he was, like, scraping it on her little bony chest.
Right. He was, like, playing xylophone.
I'm not serious.
Like a little glockenspiel on her ribs. Ding, 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 ding. That's what you hear. You turn the sound up real loud.
I think it was, like, a Red Wing song or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could have been.
Like an anthem. It was funny. So anyway, so she gets a call from her, a nasty call from her publisher that she's got to promote the book in Chicago. So she gets on a plane to Chicago. But meanwhile, Tad, and we'll get to this, Tad has tasked Aiden with finding out about Jesse's, you know, threateners. What would you call them? The people threatening to kill Jesse?
Threateners.
Threateners. That's good. Yeah, that's a good word, right? Yeah. So anyway.
Still holding a grudge, those people.
You mean Kendall? Oh, those. No, oh, the people. The threateners. Yes, the threateners. Well, yes, they're holding a grudge against Jesse and his family. And Kendall is holding a grudge against Aiden. And she is freaking out on him on the plane, trying to get up out of her seat to be away from him.
Boy, she's bananas. She got to check herself before she wrecks herself.
Well, he says to her.
He tells her.
He's like, all right, now we're going to sort this out right now.
Well, this is the way it's going to be.
This is the way it's going to be, okay?
I love Greenie. Nothing's going to screw up my relationship with Greenie.
You're selfish. Well, he said to her, he said this. I wrote it out. He said, you only be telling Aim to relieve your guilt, so get over yourself.
Okay, get up and get some crackers. And a ginger ale.
Taylor just sprayed on me. You can't help it, though. When you speak Aiden, it requires more saliva.
Yeah, you got to blow stuff out of your mouth when you're talking.
It's true. It's totally true. That poor Aiden. Then Greenlee calls. And Kendall picks up the damn phone.
That's the beauty. You know, soap operas in general. Make every wrong decision you can and stretch it out as long as you can.
Now, here's my question. Why would Greenlee be all suspicious if Kendall picks up Aiden's phone?
Because Kendall is not going to tell her the truth that she didn't want to be there, but they wound up on the same flight.
But that is not my question, Taylor Crawford. My question is, why would she be all angry and suspicious if Kendall answers Aiden's phone? They're friends. They're all friends. It's quite possible that Kendall is with Aiden.
Well.
That doesn't mean they're doing the nasty.
No, it doesn't. But maybe, Greenlee just came out of that conversation with Ryan about they're through chasing after each other's boyfriends. Hmm. So maybe that's what that was. But of course, Kendall's not going to put this whole thing to rest and say, look, I wound up on here, but everything's cool, you know. She'll lie or something. It'll make Greenlee suspicious. And then it's going to be a big problem.
Hmm. I miss Colby.
Yeah, where's Miss Colby?
I haven't seen her. She's been referee for Adam.
Yeah.
Crystal. We didn't have much
Crystal. I think she's doing layups in Europe with Richie. Not Richie, with the whatever.
With Reggie.
With Reggie, that's it.
Not Richie, Reggie.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Angie and Frankie and Jesse?
Okay.
We can wrap them up pretty quick. We had a nice reunion. We had Tad at the beginning of the week thinking that he saw Jesse.
Yeah.
And he kind of talks about it to Angie.
And Jesse, I think he's acting well. You see this. The scene in particular I liked was in the parking garage. The parking garage said they roll out every once in a while.
Yes.
I think last time we were there, Babe was being attacked by the Satin Slayer.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good clue.
But I liked him. He was nervous about talking to Tad.
Right.
But he had to talk to Tad.
Yeah, so. It was great.
Jesse played it very well.
Jesse's been Darnell Williams, who plays Jesse, has been fantastic.
And Frankie is great.
Oh, I love him too.
I know he's a young guy, but he has a demeanor, and the way he speaks, it's like, you know, he's a well-trained actor, and it's like I could see him in his 50s, you know, doing this show.
Totally. Actually, I could see him doing better things, to be honest with you.
Well, he could certainly do better things, but I mean, he is a top-notch actor, it seems.
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse saw Tad in the parking lot. Or vice versa, I should say. Mm-hmm. Because Tad was about to go home. He was very relieved about... He was actually talking to Crystal. And he was very relieved about everybody getting better and blah, blah, blah. And Jesse's leaving at the same time. And so he... Oh, no. That's not what happened, is it? I forgot how it worked. Did Jesse see... Oh, my God, people. I'm blanking. Did Jesse see... Jesse saw Tad...
They saw each other through the corners of their eyes.
Okay, okay. Because then... But then how did... Then I guess they got in the car because
Frankie thought he saw him too.
No, I know, but I mean, I was just wondering why would Jesse stay and sit with him in the car? But I think Jesse stayed because he had to ask Tad to take care of Angie, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So Jesse tells Tad that, you know, Tad wouldn't understand, and then Tad talks about Dixie, and, you know, Jesse begs Tad not to tell that he saw him, and Tad pretty much agrees.
This is the one I missed.
Well, Tad tries to... Yes, it is. Tad tries... No, you saw... Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the one you missed. You're right. Tad tried to convince Jesse to tell Angie that he wasn't going to stand for this, that he was going to have to go march back in the hospital and tell Angie. And Jesse pleaded his case that people were out to kill him and that it would risk his family's life, and he could not have that on his conscience. So, so he basically agreed. And then Angie, of course, it's like... For 2 or 3 weeks, it's been like all these near misses with Jesse. Mm-hmm. It's a little predictable, you know? And it's getting to me a little bit, but whatever. I'm forgiving it because I love this couple
Maybe
so
they'll
much.
Run into each other at the graveyard.
Maybe. Although Jordan swears that they're not going to meet then, that like he's going to run away or something like that. We're not going to see them together until Friday.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to have to wait a little, people, I think.
I might tune in Friday.
You might have to tune in on Friday. Taylor did not watch back then. I'm sure a lot of people did not watch back then, but those were some good
old
days.
I was watching Guiding Light back then.
Were you
really? With Roger Thorpe and Rose.
Oh, my God.
And Billy.
That's amazing.
And Springfield.
That's funny.
That was my college show.
A lot of young men had Days of Our Lives as their college show. Mm-hmm.
Depends which dorm room you were in.
That's true.
They had people control different rooms come, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, whatever. Well, I was fought, with the General Hospital people to watch Guiding Light.
Oh, because it was on at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I see.
There was no DVR back then.
No. There wasn't even really VCR back then.
No, there was VCR.
There was, but you didn't have one in your college dorm.
No.
I didn't have one.
No.
Anyway, Tad goes back to the hospital to visit Angie and Frankie, and the picture is gone. And it turns out Jesse stole it because he was saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm. He was pawing it and stroking it.
He was. And he has a flashback of the goons who killed him.
Kicking him in the tummy.
Yes, and trying to tell him to stay dead.
Mm-hmm.
I was laughing a little bit at the fake afro.
Mm-hmm.
It was like glistening a little bit. You know what I mean?
Had
like
a little Jerry curl.
A little Jerry curl in it. it was really funny. Taylor got a little confused. He thought it was real. But it was fake. It never happened that way. It was just, they're just trying to make it fit the current storyline, basically. So, what else happened?
Well, Jesse broke up a domestic dispute, and he got clobbered on the head with a fire extinguisher.
Oh, he did. That's right.
And he got rushed to Pine Valley, and, near misses again. They're trying to tease us. Yes. Oh, they're going to say, can you stay? Look at one more patient, Angela.
I hated that domestic dispute, though.
That was the fakest,
It was the
lamest,
fakest thing. It was like
most stereotypical.
It was like this trashy girl is like getting beat up by her man.
He's going to kill me.
And she runs into Jesse's, and of course he opens a door.
She opens the door. And the guy didn't try to open the door.
Mm.
It did not ring true at all.
None of it rang true. The actors were not good. You know, she was so fake. The guy was so fake. The guy ends up whacking. Jesse nails him. Jesse, pops him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But.
Oh, did you see his knife?
Which one?
The guy's knife. The guy threatening him. It was a potato peeler. And you could even hear it. I swear to you. If you still have it on tape, go back. That is a potato peeler. It's a vegetable peeler.
Like it has a little slash in
the middle. Yeah, it has a little slash in the middle and it rattled. It was rattling when it was wiggling it.
Oh my God, that is funny. Anyway, he ends up in the hospital, of course, and we're worried that Angie's going to find him. And then, like, Dr. Nick brings Angie over to a patient that he wants her to check. And we think it's going to be Jesse, but it's not.
No, it's somebody else who got some money.
And then he goes into, he does like a Javier Bardem, where he goes into the supply closet to try to steal, you know, medicine to medicate himself. Javier Bardem is from one of my favorite movies, No Country for Old Men. And this man is like a Superman. And when he gets, like, shot, he goes into a pharmacy and he gets everything he needs to clear his bullet.
Like Terminator.
He's like the Terminator.
The Terminator will go and, you know.
That's right.
Fix himself up.
Jesse is like the Terminator is like Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. It's the same thing.
Well, you heard that here first. That is the first comparison we've heard of that.
It is a very astute comparison. Thank you very much. Anyway, I liked when Minnie Hands Julia found Jesse in the closet. He BS's his way out of it.
That's right.
And she lets him go. And then she sees Angie in the hospital. And Angie's like reminiscing for the 82,000th time. And she decides that she's going to go see Jesse.
Because it's his birthday. It's Jesse's birthday.
Yes, that's true. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. It is his birthday. So that makes sense. So she goes. And at the end of the week, she's out to go to the graveyard. Okay? And Jesse's already at the graveyard. I hated the ending this week.
Who goes to the graveyard to look at your own grave? What is sentimental about that?
That is true. That's a weird thing.
It's kind of weird, right?
I wish Dixie would go to her graveyard and see her grave.
Where's Dixie? I was sure she'd be back on by now.
Dixie, Katie McLean was in New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Really?
She was partying away at Mardi Gras. Her real age is now up on her MySpace page. You go, Katie. For years, she had like 99 years old because she didn't want to say her age. Now she's proudly saying her age. I love it. I adore that woman. She could do no wrong.
Yeah, come back to the show, Katie.
You need to come back, Katie. And I don't care that these people were jerks to you. Just say... screw it and just come back because you know what? In the end, you get the last laugh because the fans love you. Even if the network dumb execs didn't appreciate you, we love you.
So, speaking of which, the writer's strike seems to be coming to close, right?
Well, the writers have to approve the deal. That could take some time.
But they'll probably want to get it approved. I mean, the producers, because the Oscar's coming up.
Yes, they do. There's a lot of pressure to wrap it up.
So, because I heard that's like a third of the studio's money comes from post-Oscars. So.
That's right.
So they hopefully, you know, we'll get... I don't know. I haven't been questioning what all my children's been doing.
I will tell you. They got two very big scabs, in my opinion. Barbara Eisenstein and James Harmon Brown are the head writers. They filed or registered as FICOR or something like that, which means they can break the strike for financial reasons. So they've been writing the show. Now, people, I told you this last week. They don't have no financial reasons for needing to break the strike. They're head writers. They've been head writers for years. You can't tell me they can't go 2 months without a paycheck, 3 months without a paycheck.
So they make them kind of producer status, so they have to be there.
Yeah, something like that. So they've been writing the show, and in some ways I'm glad because it's maintaining the quality of the show, but in other ways I disagree with it because it's, you know, scabbing in my opinion.
It is, yeah, crossing picket lines.
So anyway, so hopefully this will all come to an end so that they won't be scabs anymore and we can get back to business with the show. But I think that's it. I mean, I had some JR stuff, but I'm not really interested.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about JR.
I really don't. I was going to talk about the Dakota ring and that dumbass storyline.
It seems to be thrown away right now.
Yes.
Just like the ring, down the drain.
And him and Babe, new Babe.
No, not worth
it. Fizzle. Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing at all.
But it seems like next week we got stuff to look forward to, so.
That's true, we do.
Stay positive, people. Stay frosty.
Well, I have enjoyed having my old co-host back, even if it is for just 1 week.
It's like riding a bike.
Get right back on. All right, people. Well, thank you for listening to the Pine Valley Podcast. We will give you our plugs once again, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/Pine Valley Podcast, or you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm Taylor Crawford.
And here's a little something just for you.
It's the most advanced car ever developed. Its power is unmatched. And this February, it's back.
Hello, Mike.
Knight Rider returns to NBC in a two-hour movie event.
Here we go. Rolling.
The original kit was the Knight Industries 2000, so we've upgraded to the Knight Industries 3000, and this is the coolest car you'll ever see.
Well, that's my kind of ride.
Kit will have a lot of the same features as far as the artificial intelligence. It'll still be governed by this artificial intelligence.
Driving by itself.
It's not a thing. It's a car, and you may call it Kit.
Sure, we've got the coolest car in the world, but now it's time to meet the man behind the wheel.
Here we go. Rolling.
Action! Here we go.
It is not a remake. It is a continuation, a sequel of the original series. I played Mike Tracer's son, Michael Knight.
It's going to be the fun Knight Rider that it was and more.
Kit, try something like that again. I'll put sugar in your gas tank.
Don't even think about it.
Down the engine and get out of the car.
They never learn.
Certainly didn't come from the dealership.